This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Advertising, of course, takes many forms, cross-cultural, as Elizabeth was just talking about. Straight ahead, some are funny, sometimes ads are a little abstract. Also, false. For instance, what do the Burger King Whopper, the Subway tuna sandwich, and the Taco Bell Crunchwrap all have in common, hmm? Besides being, well, unexciting lunch options, they've all been the subject of recent false advertising litigation. And that is just the short list of a host of claims involving hundreds of products, food or otherwise, that have been deceptively marketed to the consuming public. Where, then, do courts draw the line between false advertising and just buyer beware? To answer that, we've called Professor Rebecca Tushnet at Harvard Law, who teaches aspiring attorneys about these kinds of things. Professor, welcome to the program.
It's good to be here.
Could we get a little ground truth here first? I suppose a little definitions here. What is, in the eyes of the law, false advertising?
False advertising is essentially a broken promise. You promised something that you didn't deliver that matters to the consumer, that is a reason that they might want to buy something.
So you gave two parts of the answer there. One was give them a reason and then consumers. And the reason I ask that is because it's reasonable consumer, right?
Right. There's always somebody unreasonable who, you know, expects the refrigerator never to break down. But there's also lots of reasonable expectations, even if they might be wrong. So it might be reasonable to think that, say, a medicine can last, you know, 24 hours, even if it's physically impossible for that particular medicine. Mm-hmm. But you're not supposed to know that as an average person on the street.
So it is an increasing issue, right? There are more complaints being made, more lawsuits being filed. What is going on?
So there's always a dynamic in the market where sellers are trying to get away with whatever they can get away with. And some of them are, you know, not overly concerned with the truth. One of the things I think we're seeing with the lawsuits actually is the collapse of other ways to regulate companies and also the inability to sue for a lot of the things that go on in our lives. So most of your life, you have signed contracts mm-hmm. with people saying, I promise not to sue you, and we'll arbitrate if there's a problem. So what's left is the stuff that you don't sign a contract for, the stuff that you buy in the store. So the $5 purchases or the fast food lunch, there you can still sue, and that's where the lawsuits are concentrating.
Yeah, a lot of fast food and a lot of food in general, right? Why is that the case?
It's because there's a lot of incentive to make promises or make suggestions to consumers. And then when the consumer says, hey, that didn't really happen, you say, well, it was always vague anyway. Like, what is natural, really? What is clean, really? And, you know, it's difficult because, of course, they want you to rely on it. And then they want to say, but it was too vague for any reasonable person to rely on it. So the dynamic here is somewhat unfortunate for the consumer.
Right, right. So what is the remedy for a wronged consumer? I mean, you know, there's this Burger King Whopper case where Burger Kings are actually, you know, not as big as they are advertised. And do we all get free Whoppers, or what's the solution?
So usually the consumer asks for a refund, so basically to reflect the difference between what they paid for and what they thought they were getting. There'd probably be a settlement, and, you know, anybody who had bought a burger within the relevant time period could get 10 cents per burger or whatever. Mm-hmm. Most of the deterrent effect there just comes from, if it were to succeed, they would probably change some of their advertising and, you know, not do it again.
Entirely apart from the food and beverage and those things where you just buy stuff because you need stuff, this thing you mentioned about signing contracts and signing away your rights to sue and committing to arbitration, what's the net effect of that? Where do we go in the long run with that, right? Because that's kind of what this is all about.
Right. So the problem with that is it gives big companies the ability to basically nickel and dime you. And, you know, a nickel wrongfully taken from me is no big deal, but a nickel wrongfully taken from 100 million people is a lot of money. And so I think we do need to think about responding to these sort of large scale things, even when they're small individually, they just contribute to chipping away at us economically, which is not great.
Right. It's an erosion of consumer rights, right? In a consumer-driven economy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Rebecca Tushnet is a professor of law at Harvard University. Professor, thanks for your time, ma'am. I appreciate it.
Thank you.